Welcome, everyone, to our Calling the Remnant podcast here from the studios at the City on a Hill. I welcome you here today with us. Again, I have my wife, Julie, here. To my right, to my left, I have my son, Benji, associate pastor here at the City on a Hill, and I welcome you today. I hope since we met last Friday that God's been doing truly great things in your lives, and I can speak for those of us here at the City on a Hill. God is doing so much. It's truly hard to even put into words how much God is doing. All of us. There's no one that doesn't like to say, "Oh, well, you know, God is he's taking care of me. He's been so good to me." And that is true of us here as well. But it's so much more. God is doing the supernatural here at the City on a Hill. He's doing things that only God can do. And that's the true measure of walking in the supernatural. My dad used to always say to people in his ministry, he used to say, "If you can do it, go do it." He said, "If you can do it, then go do it." He said, "But I want to minister those things that only God can do, that I cannot do, the impossible things." And that's what God's been doing here at the City on the Hill. So I just want to start out today, before we get into anything else, I want to invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing here. I'm so grateful that you're watching us, whatever platform you're watching us on. But I also want to encourage you to come visit us sometime, because when the Spirit has risen up in this place, and the waters of healing are flowing at this altar, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. We're seeing things that man thought was impossible, man knew was impossible, but we're seeing them become possible. So I want to invite you to come and share service with us sometime. Sundays 11, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And then, of course, you can watch us on anytime you can. We've got things out there all the time. Benji will get into more of that at the end. But let's get started talking about today. What are some things that are on your heart or that people have been asking about?
Well, before we address that, I just wanted to say, while you were talking about how we experience God's presence, and specifically mentioning about how people say, you know, "Oh, I really, really being carried along, you know, by the Spirit, and He's really blessing me and taking care of me." It brought to mind, I guess, kind of a picture of what the so much more really is to us. And to me, a good way to express that is how the Bible expresses it so much about being in water.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Lord just really, he's with me all the time, and he helps me, and, you know, just that's the wading.
Yeah.
In at the ankles.
Yeah.
Think about going into an ocean. You're walking into the ocean, and it's refreshing.
Right.
And it feels refreshing, and it's good, and it's enjoyable, but you're in complete control.
Right.
And whatever, you know, whatever you're experiencing is in your control, and it feels good, and it's refreshing and enjoyable. But until you go make a choice to venture out further and further, deeper and deeper, to a place where your feet aren't touching the ground anymore, then that's what is what we have to seek after.
Well,
that's the comparison that I think best expresses the difference in just being just you know, not really grasping what we're talking about, how to experience God in the fullest way.
Well, I know you're referring to what I ministered on Wednesday night from Ezekiel, where Ezekiel was taken out to the temple, and the angel led him out into the waters of life and took him out, said, "Here, let's go walk out into these waters." Went up to his ankles, took him out, I think it was 1,000 cubits, took him up to his knees, took him out further up to his waist. Finally, he took him out to a place where Ezekiel said, "I couldn't stand anymore. I wasn't in control anymore. I wasn't the one making the decisions anymore." It was the river of life that had taken over. And I said on Wednesday, and I'll say it here, that to truly walk the supernatural life where there's nobody that doesn't want God to do miracles. Every sinner by the side of the road was, oh, yeah, I want a miracle. No one doesn't want miracles. But to truly walk in the supernatural, you have to cut every string that attaches you to the natural. That doesn't mean that God doesn't do something good for somebody. I hear people say all the time, oh, well, 10 years ago, I remember when God did this for me. That's great, but that's not what we're after here. What we're after here is the life of the supernatural. We are after being supernatural creatures, I like to say, where we live out what Jesus said. He said, the flesh profits nothing. He said, the spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. As long as you're holding on to the natural, then you're not walking in the supernatural. It is impossible. You can't. I've preached 100 different messages. This is not the time to do it. You can go and find all of those scriptures at a later time. But as long as you're holding on to the natural, you will never be supernatural. Never. You never. Doesn't mean that God doesn't do something good for you, but that's not the level that Jesus said we're supposed to be at. He said, you're supposed to be doing greater things than I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you to do that, you have to do like Ezekiel and get into the water, the anointed waters of God, and let him have control. And let him be the one dictating everything. And again, this is a rabbit hole that we could go down and just keep talking about it. But people think they sound holy by saying, "Well, you know what? God's in charge of my life, and I just trust that God's in charge of my life, and that he's taking care of things." No, God wants you healthy. No, God wants you blessed.
Right.
No,
right.
God wants you strong. Right. No, God wants you free. But you're not going to find it sitting in your living room.
There's a way.
You're not going to do it sitting in your living room. You're not going to do it going, you know, this is the kind of thing that people maybe don't want to hear. But you're not going to do it going and having a small group. You're not going to do it by going and sitting somewhere and say, "Well, I'm going to a church because they really they're saying the kind of things that I like to hear." Yeah, that's the reason to go to a church, isn't it? No, you've got to find where the anointing is.
Right.
You have to find where the anointing is. And again, I can only speak of what God has chosen and called us to do. But the city on a hill was called to be a historic anointing that God called us from. And so I know what God's chosen us to do. And I know that if people hear the word of the Lord today, that God can do those same supernatural things that he's doing for us, that he's done through this heritage for 160-something years, he can do it for them as well. I know that he will. But people have to make that choice. I'm going to get into that water that is over my head where I'm not in control, but I'm surrendered to the anointing of Almighty God. Anything else, you're going... is going to be insufficient. And listen, we know so many people, just in our sphere, we know so many people, Christian people, but they're dying before they should die. They're living lives. There's
so much suffering.
Listen,
much suffering.
I'm going to go ahead and read this quote I read on Wednesday during our service from Smith Wigglesworth, maybe for a different reason than I read it on Wednesday night. But he said, "The reason the world is not seeing Jesus is that Christian people are not filled with Jesus." Now, again, he didn't say sinners are not filled with Jesus. He said Christian people. There was an understanding that Smith Wigglesworth had that people need to understand. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. He was a plumber, but he was able to walk in the supernatural things because he understood. He understood the importance of what we're talking about right now. He said Christian people are not filled with Jesus. They are satisfied with attending meetings weekly. Most Christians won't even do that anymore.
Right.
Reading the Bible occasionally and praying sometimes. It's an awful thing for me to see people who profess to be Christians lifeless, powerless, and in a place where their lives are so parallel to unbelievers' lives that it is difficult to tell which place they are in, whether in the flesh or in the spirit. What he was saying was, is that all the Christians he saw when he was alive, they had the same sicknesses that the world has. That all the Christians he saw had the same problems that the world has. That all the Christians he saw had all the same worries and all the same sins that the world has. And it shouldn't be like that. God said, be holy, for I am holy. Well, holiness is put you in a place of not being like the world. And that's not what's being taught in the church today. That's not what God is seeing out of his people today. What he's seeing is very much like what we saw in the churches in Revelation. In the churches of Revelation, particularly he went to the church at Laodicea, and he said, listen, you're blind, you're wretched, you're pitiful. That sounds pretty much like the church today. They're blind, they're wretched, and they're pitiful. And he says, you don't even know what's wrong with you. He said, you think that you are blessed and happy and wealthy, and you think this. He said, but no, you're wretched. That's a strong word. That's a strong word. But that speaks to the church of today. That speaks to what's going on in the church world today. There's a wretchedness. It has come down to let's small group our way to heaven. It's come down to, hey, let's go to another conference. Now, as I think I said this a couple of weeks ago somewhere, now it is, let's not only go to a conference, let's go to a conference and they're going to try to find the most clean, dirty person they can so we can say we had a celebrity there. We're going to find the most clean out of all the dirty people. We're going to bring them there so we can say, hey, guess who we got coming to our conference? That's what the church has become. They've become like Laodicea. They think they're in a golden age, and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize it. But that takes us back to what this meeting is, what we're doing right here. God is calling the remnant. He's calling the remnant. He's calling the remnant of people. It's small. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, there are few who find it. Mm-hmm. He said, there are few. He said, wide is the gate to destruction, but narrow is the way to life. He said, and there are few who find it. That belies the visuals of what you see in the church today. That belies when you see churches filled with tens of thousands of people snotting and crying. They, oh, look what we're doing for God. But all it is an emotional love feast is all it is. Just an emotional love feast it's all emotion. No, it's not faith. And because of that, God says, no. He says, I'm calling my remnant. Back in the time of Elijah, the entire nation thought that they were doing such great things for God. We look at it and we say, oh, they were a bunch of idolaters. They thought they were serving God. They thought they were serving God until one man stood on the mountain. And he said, you're not serving God. He said, I'm going to rebuild this altar, and God's going to send the fire. God is calling the remnant. In Elijah's day, when all of that was done, God finally came to Elijah and said, I have 7,000. Out of millions of people in Israel, I have 7,000 people that are my remnant. Today, God is calling the remnant. I'm not putting a number on it. The number 7,000 is symbolic of that perfect number that God has. But God is calling the remnant. And we're doing this podcast, praying by the Holy Spirit that we are able to send out the call throughout the whole earth to say, to reach people's hearts, to touch their hearts, to, so that something inside of them can say, what's happening is not okay. It's not okay. God is looking for a remnant. And I don't care. I don't care who says differently. I'm telling you, Jesus said there are few. There are few who find it. There are few who find it. Praise the Lord. Well, we kind of got off onto a thing here. Benji, you got something?
I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned the word faith just a few moments ago, because that's really what it's all about. Going back to the first thing that we mentioned about Ezekiel, it takes faith to give all that control over to God. It takes faith to take a step above that and not only live it, but speak it out into the world and into the church world.
It does. And you know, going back to Elijah, he's such a great example, and there's a reason why the Bible talks about it. It says before the day of the Lord, you're going to see the spirit of Elijah, is because Elijah understood, number one, that he had to stand alone. He understood, and it wasn't easy. He found himself in a cave by himself, down on everything, saying, God, just take me because no one's listening to me.
Faith is hard.
No one's listening to me. That's right. That's become our new mantra here at the City on the Hill. Faith is hard. And most of the church world is looking for faith to be easy. Faith is hard. And I say all the time, miracles are easy. Miracles are actually easy. If you get into faith, miracles are easy. I don't have to do miracles. God does it. I don't have to do it. We've seen so many things happen here. I don't have to do it. God does the miracles. The part that's hard is faith. It's faith. And that's why Jesus said, he said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What was he saying? He was saying faith is hard. There's a violent nature to faith that if God's people don't... And when I say a violent nature, I'm not talking about storming the Capitol. I'm not talking about going to the steps in Atlanta. I'm not talking about going to the governor's mansion. I'm not talking about going to the White House. I'm talking about to get into the spirit world as a flesh person is impossible. It takes a violence within yourself to tear yourself away from the flesh. Because the devil does everything he can to pull. He wants so bad to pull you and to keep you in the flesh. He's doing everything he can to keep us in the flesh. It takes violence to pull away.
And I think it's important to point out that part of that violence is a violent, holy anger against the devil.
Yes.
There's a target that we need to be aiming toward. And of course, by the power of the blood of Jesus, he won the victory forever and ever. But the devil is active in the world, and his demons and all of his forces are working overtime 24/7 to thwart the people of God, the true people of God. There's a holy anger that is taken over here. That is in us because we know what our God can do, and we see that there's been just a dereliction of duty of the church over the last hundreds, you know, thousands of years, say, and the shepherds are not. They're not communing with the Father. The shepherds have lost what it truly means to be under the anointed leadership, the anointing of God, the anointed leaders.
Well, here's the problem. People have decided to be shepherds.
Right.
You go and read in the Word of God, it talks about people running to their own house.
Yes.
What it's talking about is people had decided they weren't running to the house of God. They were saying, oh, we're serving God, but we're going to run to our own house. We're going to make ourselves the lead. We're going to make ourselves the, for lack of a better way of saying it, the pastor. We're going to make ourselves the shepherd, and it has nothing to do with it coming from the anointing, which, again, it kind of leads me to something we were talking about, I was talking about last Sunday during the service. I was giving the scripture of Elisha, if you all remember, and how the Syrian army came and Elisha was with his servant, and they were surrounded by the Syrian army. And Elisha's servant spoke up and said, Master, He said, what shall we do? We're surrounded by this army. What shall we do? And I talked about how the entire church world is in some way saying, Lord, what shall we do? You know, shall we politic about it? Shall we small group about it? Shall we protest about it? What is it? What shall we do? And Elisha's answer to that was, you need to see the way I see. You need to become supernatural. And he says, Lord, open his eyes. And all of a sudden, his eyes were open, and he could see the chariots of fire surrounding them in the hills. He said, no, though, the answer against this army is not what you think. It's to become supernatural. That's the answer. You need to see the way I see. The Apostle Paul said, we don't even look at the seen. He said, we look at that which is unseen. And I want to make this point because it's important. There was one man. One man brought an entire army down to its knees. One man. One single man. And I said this Sunday, and I'll say it again. People can't tell me how many great people there are, how greatly they're serving the Lord. They can't tell me that. They can't tell me about all these revivals going on. They can't tell me that. Because if it were true, then the Christians would have they would have this world by its tail and be it, we would see such things happening that we couldn't even describe how great it is. Mm-hmm. Because it was only one man that brought an entire army down. I jokingly said, I can walk into Walmart over here and find about 100 prophets, so-called prophets, walking around. No, there's not. They're not prophets, because if they were, you would be shocked at how differently things would be around us, because all it took was one true prophet to bring an entire army down to its knees. Yes. We talk about terrorists and terroristic countries and all these things going on in the world. Listen, I'm just telling you, if there were all these prophets walking around, that wouldn't be a problem, because all it took was one man to bring an army down to its knees, just one. God desperately needs his remnant to stand up. He desperately, desperately needs his remnant to stand up, and that is what God has put on our hearts here at the City on a Hill. Again, I've talked about it in previous podcasts. I've written about it. And we're actually going to do an entire podcast. We're going to bring some other people in and do a podcast about our history, where we come from here at the City on the Hill, our heritage, the Armenian heritage. But God chose this special people. Still is a special people that God chose, this prophetic people, and he called them to be a remnant 100 years ago, and they still called them to be a remnant now. And I'm speaking to those people who have hearts of the Spirit. Come be a part of the remnant move that God has going on in the earth today. Let's rise up together and bring down the works of darkness. Let's rise up together and put an end to the false prophets in the church today. You know, let's talk about that for a minute, because I know it's...
I'm glad you said that, because we've been getting some questions.
A lot of questions about false, but you know, there's been some very well known, and I say this loosely, and you got to understand, the prophetic is close to my heart, because I was raised by a prophet. It is my ministry.
It's the foundation of this ministry. It is,
you know, my dad, before the Lord took him home, he said that his family was brought to this country. He was born, he lived, he said everything he did was led by the prophetic word of God, and he said, I'll die by the prophetic, and he did, and he did. So this heritage here, I call it a historic heritage. It is a prophetic heritage. So we know of what we're speaking of when we say that. People might not, they might not understand it, they might not believe it, but we know of what we speak when we talk about the prophetic. That is the area of that God has called this heritage into for decade after decade, going back to the old country. It is who we are and what we're about. And so when I say we know about the prophetic, we know about, and I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I don't need anyone to do that. I, 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 I know what I'm called to do. But this, we are plagued with false prophets. I remember, again, I've used this example here many times, but I'm going to go ahead and say it for our podcast here, our show. But I remember, we've got an election coming up. And I remember during our last election, I can remember people all over the world. I had someone, even in the grocery store, didn't even know who I was, I don't think, came and grabbed me, and they said, every prophet in the world, every prophet in the world is prophesying how this election is going to go. They're saying that Donald Trump is going to win. Now, forget what your politics are. Forget what you believe is right politically. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what God chose to do. And everywhere, this, I mean, some of the most famous prophets in the world, again, prophets in the world, got up and prophesied. I guarantee you, this is going to happen. Well, we know almost 4 years later that's not what happened. And those people here know that I said to them here, I said, I know what all the prophets are saying. That's not what God told to me. That's not what God spoke to me. He didn't say that to me. And I know that I hear from God. And we saw what happened. I say that because after the fact, those same prophets got up and said, well, I just missed it. I'm just a man. It doesn't make me not a prophet. It doesn't make me not a prophet because I missed it. I'm still a prophet. I just missed it. But if you go to the Word of God, what does the Word of God say? It says if someone stands up and says they're a prophet and it doesn't happen, then they're a false prophet. Somebody has got to say it because these people are leading congregations of thousands. So again, we have what we call here our little bubble. Our little prophetic bubble. And it's very easy for us just to stay here in our little bubble and watch people be healed, watch people be blessed, just be happy and peaceful in our little prophetic bubble. Elijah went to his little bubble. He went to his cave. He went to his little bubble. It's very easy. But God put it on our hearts to take a stand and to say, no, we're going to do a podcast because God wants his remnant. He wants his prophetic remnant to stand up. And in the face of all the false prophets that are everywhere, they're prophesying all these things really just to draw attention to themselves, just to go viral. Oh, yeah, I know who's going to win the election. And then they're wrong. Well, I'm still a prophet. Still send me your money. Still send me your money because I'm still a prophet. That's not what God's called us to stand up and to say, no, God has a remnant. And it's small, but he has a remnant that he's finding. And there are people in this country, there are people in China, there are people in the Middle East, there are people in South America, there are people in Africa, there are people all over this world on islands maybe that we don't even know where they're at. But there's a remnant. God is touching their hearts, a prophetic remnant that's going to stand up and they're going to say, no, we're going to rebuild the altar of God like Elijah and we're going to call the fire down and that which is false we're going to destroy so that true revival can take hold in God's church. We're not talking about revival just because there's a lot of people snotting and crying. We're not talking about revival because they've got the smoke going on the stage and people are, oh, we're having a great revival. No. We're talking about revival where the fire falls down from heaven. We're not talking about the false. And we're not, if I never see gold dust coming down from the sky, you know, there was this revival and we saw gold dust. No, you didn't. You did not. You didn't see gold dust coming down. If it's revival, you're going to see the fire coming down.
That's right.
It's what you're going to see. Right. Don't tell me what you're seeing. Okay, now you got me going. Now you got me going. Man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bid, you got anything you want to add?
Well, if we're going to stay on the topic of false prophets, you know, makes me think so much about how we're not just talking about having prophets at this ministry. This ministry is based on the prophetic. It would not exist without a prophet as young as the age of 11 or 12 years old. That's one of the things about the prophetic that I think gets lost among a lot of people is that prophecies and prophets, the way they operate, are not supposed to be the way we naturally expect. And that's what I think a lot of people, That's why one of the reasons I think a lot of people still like to believe the words of a lot of false prophets. They're hoping that it's this particular way. They're imagining it to be a particular way. And when the false prophet speaks and they're like, yeah, that's exactly how I thought it was going to be. I believe what that person said. And to me, that is more of a sign of a false prophet. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Well, without a doubt. You know, listen, I can only speak of that which I know and what I've been raised in and who I am and what God has called me to be. And I say this all the time during my messages, and I say it because I mean it, and I also say it, though, to make a point that I can't change. If my ministry was just my wife and I always say, I'll take my wife and I, and we'll go sit on our little prophetic hill, and we'll do what God asked us to do by her. We'll just sit there by ourselves because I know what God asked me to do. And if it's just us two sitting by ourselves, we'll do it. We'll do it. You know, the greatest, my dad always said, talked about his uncle Aram Meshachin. He talked in his prophetic anointing has been handed down to my dad. But my dad said he's the greatest prophet, he says, maybe that ever walked this earth since Elijah. And I can't get into the stories of what God did through this mighty man of God. But he said he lived in a trailer in the desert. he lived in a trailer in the desert. You know, listen, I'll sit on my little hill by myself if I have to, because I know what God's asked me to do. But I know as a part of that, God said, you need to start calling the remnant. Start calling the remnant. Start putting it out there into the atmosphere, into the spiritual atmosphere. Start calling the remnant. And God's starting to put together a people here at the City on a Hill. He's starting to put together a group of people that are all about calling the remnant. And I'm telling you, God is raising up anointed people here. He's raising up anointed people that are walking under this prophetic anointing here. And God's going to use them for great signs and wonders. I know that he is. You know, right now we are in the middle of 77 days of between we started last week and Pentecost Sunday. It was 11 weeks, but it was 77 days where we're doing a little something different during our services. We're anointing people before the service even starts and then immediately moving into our service so that we can walk anointed into the presence of God to go to a higher level. But I'm having two of our elders here. They're the ones doing the anointing because I know God is raising them up to do mighty things for God.
Amen.
I know that God's raising them up. And so I everything we've said, I say again, God is calling the remnant. He's calling the remnant. That's what this is about. We really didn't get into it, all the stuff we were even thinking about. We were kind of discussing before we got on the air, you know, maybe we could talk about this. I always say to people, if they knew how little planning we did, that they'd be scared, you know, because we don't plan stuff here. We just get on and start talking, and we got and we say, yeah, maybe we can kind of talk about that. We didn't even get into that because God's calling the remnant, and I'm hoping hearts were touched and changed today. If you want more information, you can reach out to us, Benji. Tell them how to watch us.
All right. Well, on our social media pages, which we have on Instagram, X, Facebook. YouTube is where you can find us with our everyday videos that we have. We live stream our services that we meet here in person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville, Sundays at 11 a.m., Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and every weekday at 8 o'clock we have either a devotional video or a Remnant 101 video or this podcast coming out. You can also listen to our podcast on Spotify. You can talk to your Siri or your Alexa and say, play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast, and it'll play it for you. Did I miss anything?
I think you got it. No. Praise the Lord. I pray God touches your hearts because God wants you healthy.
Amen.
He wants to bless you.
Yes, he does.
And he wants to make you greater. He wants to make you greater. He wants you to look different than the world. And not only that, he wants you to look different than the rest of the church world. Church world. You say, well, that's not true. Well, listen. The Bible talked about the prophets, talked about John the Baptist, how different he looked than all the other people that were serving God around him. He looked different. God wants you to be different. He wants his remnant to be different. He wants us to stand out. We're working on it. Come do it with us. God bless you.